football on off the ball.
We just don't have the climate that you can play in the winter. Mm. And we just don't have the climate that gets any sort of quality. We don't have the facilities to accommodate that. So it's only right that it would be from through the summer months.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Hello and welcome along to Rugby Daily. I'm Susanna Mullen and it's just one more sleep until the big day. Ireland take on France tomorrow night at 9:10 French time in Paris as this year's Six Nations officially gets underway. Coming up today, Doris is ready for the atmosphere of the Stade de France, Bundiaki might be back in the Ireland squad, and Cully Tucker names his 23 to represent the Ireland 15 against England A on Friday night. Up first, I was at the Stade de France earlier today to watch a few minutes of Ireland's final training session before the big game tomorrow. And looking up at the stands from pitch side, the size is staggering. You can see why it's such an intense place to come and play as an away team. But Ireland captain Caelan Doris is confident that they will be well prepared for all the noise tomorrow.
Yeah, it's special. Like it's pretty much the pinnacle of the game, really. We've had some fond memories here in the past through the World Cup and some not so good ones as well, but what's been consistent throughout has been an unbelievable atmosphere, so we want to enjoy that really, not let it affect us but also enjoy it, so it's going to be a special spectacle and we're hoping to put our best foot forward. Yeah, I think like ultimately it comes back to preparing as best as possible, being completely clear on the game plan, being able to get back to present and not letting it distract you. And when you're clear, when you've got clarity and you can bring intent to that, then you don't get sidetracked by a noisy crowd. You can actually embrace it. Yeah, well, I mean, we'll touch on some of the more obvious things. Like, I remember coming out here back in 22, I think it was, and just being struck by how loud the crowd was even before the warm-up and the bands going and stuff like that. So, yeah, we've mentioned those sort of bits just so they don't catch you off guard. But I really do think there's an appetite to embrace the hostility or whatever comes our way. And like I was saying there, when there's clarity, that stuff doesn't get in your way.
It's a huge ask for this Irish team, riddled with injuries, to win at the home of French rugby tomorrow. But if they are to stand a chance, it's clear that they'll need to up their game from November. A consistent theme of the Autumn Nations series was ill discipline from the boys in green, racking up 46 penalties and 7 cards across the 4 games. Doris knows that if they're to turn things around this Six Nations, that is a key area they need to improve in.
It's one of the key points that we've talked about since coming into camp, especially off the back of November, where it wasn't good enough. I would have had chats with the coaches post-November around me as captain needing to lead it better. I gave way too many penalties in November, so it starts with me, it starts with the more senior players, but yeah, across the board it's very important, especially with the way the game's going. I think refs, like there's more cards these days, offside, they're hotter on offsides, breakdown, they want to favour the attacking team, so smart decision making there and being really clinical and disciplined is going to be very important.
Speaking of discipline, there's a chance that Bundiaki could be back in this Irish squad for the last 2 games of the tournament. The Connacht centre was banned for 4 games, including the 3 opening rounds of the Six Nations, for verbal abuse of and disrespect towards the match officials after his province's recent URC defeat to Leinster. Despite being dropped from the Irish squad before the disciplinary hearings even began, speaking to media yesterday, Ireland head coach Andy Farrell confirmed that Aki would certainly be in contention for the closing 2 rounds of the tournament.
Well, it was a big blow to any team, not just by his talent as a player, but his presence, his experience and all of that. So I was privy to what was going on behind the scenes, but I was being told what was happening. I didn't know what was happening as far as the URC or the hearing and all of that, so I was told on the way of what needed to happen.
I know we said last week he will become available for the last 2 games.
He's certainly, I mean, I spoke to Bundy, he's certainly sorry for what happened. He's apologised to the right people, he'll be working hard at home, and if needed he'll certainly be available for us down the track.
This morning on Off the Ball Breakfast, I joined in from the Stade de France and we discussed how likely Bundy's return really is.
I was interested in Andy Farrell's comments about it, like that he said there's a window of opportunity here for Bundy to come back for the last two games. And I could see that happening. Like if Ireland lose to France and then Ireland lose to England and they're unconvincing against Italy and they win, I could definitely see a call back for Bundyaki.
When we were looking in at it, when it all first happened, everybody felt that this was coming from the IRFU and they were setting like a line in the sand and they weren't going to tolerate any ill-discipline anymore. But it certainly feels like the way that Andy was talking about it, he kind of distanced himself from the decision. I mean, he was asked straight out, will he be considered to come back into camp for the last 2 weeks? And Farrell kind of like looked at the person who asked the question kind of like, well, obviously.
So what's happening here is Andy Farrell is putting pressure on the IRFU, don't mess this up. I want this player. And if you go and ban him, it's my first off, my hands are also clean, so I've got plausible deniability with the player. But also, is the IRFU hierarchy going to say, sorry, Andy Farrell, my referees are more important than the elite performance. Our referees are more important than the outcome in the Six Nations, which is going to deliver millions of revenue to us.
Speaking from pure opinion here, but I think after the 4 weeks, it'll all just kind of be put behind them. Once you've served the ban, he'll come back into camp and I personally think they'll all move on from it.
As always, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app or on YouTube. Rugby Daily is on Off the Ball with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. On the French side of things then, as well documented by now, home hero Antoine Dupont will make his long-awaited return to the national side in tomorrow's game. Quoted by Doris himself as the best player in the world, I asked him how he plans to deal with the threat that Dupont always brings.
Can't give that away. No, I mean, he's done me several times, you know what I mean? I can think of one particular incident in 2023 where I feel I have him coming up one side of the breakdown and then he twirls and goes around me and beats three defenders the other side. So I've described him before as one of those little fish you try and touch and they dart away from you, and it's true. But you got to be connected, you got to stay on him in multiple people. You can't kind of make the decision for him by coming out of system and thinking, oh, here's the best player in the world, I need to go and get him, prove a point. You got to stay connected. So yeah, he's a big threat, he's kind of the heartbeat to their attack, and yeah, it's going to be a big challenge for us.
Starting opposite him on the pitch tomorrow will be Ireland's Jemison Gibson-Park. With just shy of 50 caps under his belt in green, Gibson-Park is no stranger to duels with Dupont, and he's looking forward to getting stuck into another big one tomorrow.
Quite a lot of prep goes into stopping him.
What does that look like for you? Is it just watching extra clip, or you know, what does it mean for you?
Well, I think we all know the kind of 3D poses, eh? So we would have seen a lot of stuff in the last number of years of, you know, him doing stuff that not many others are capable of. So there's that, but there's also the coaches as well. You know, they're putting a bit of time into him as well. But yeah, it's just a little bit different.
Do you think it brings the best out of you when you go up against the kind of elite nines?
I'd like to think so. Yeah, I've had some pretty good duels with him down the years. Certainly at club level, and but yeah, he certainly poses a pretty serious threat for sure.
Starting alongside Gibson-Park tomorrow is Leinster teammate Sam Prendergast at 10. Farrell said yesterday that his skill set matched the game plan in place for tomorrow, although many observers have questioned his defensive ability against what will be a physical French side. Following up on that today, Dar said Sam has been working hard on that side of his game behind the scenes, and he has complete faith in his young out half.
Yeah, I mean, there's great competition amongst the tens, which is what we need. They're all relatively young and have good heads on them and are driving each other in the right direction, which is great for the group. Yeah, Sam's been great. Like, obviously, his defence has caught quite a bit of flack, but it's an area that, like, I'm in the same club as him in Leinster, and I see day-to-day the work he puts in, same here in camp. So that side of his game is improving. In terms of his attack, like, the ceiling is so high for him. He can do things that not many people can do at all. And he's getting more and more confident at leading the week and being another voice, especially guiding our attack. So yeah, I've got a lot of faith in him and I'm looking forward to seeing him lead us around tomorrow.
With Sam handed the starting 10 shirt, it's another blow for Munster's Jack Crowley, who is sidelined to the bench. Filling in that 6-2 split on the bench, Farrell says his flexibility is a strength that allows him to come on in various positions to steady the ship. But talking to Irish Times rugby correspondent Jerry Thornley last night on Monday Night Rugby, Owen Shane questioned whether being a jack-of-all-trades could be harmful for Crowley's future in green.
I must say, Jerry, if versatility is a big reason why Jack Crowley is in the squad, that doesn't bode overly well for Jack Crowley as a potential future Ireland starting 10.
Well, it's got him into this match day squad, and who knows when he's going to come on to the, when he's going to come to the match, and who knows where he's going to play. I mean, he can still become a very valuable member of this squad for the next 5 days. It is amazing to think, though, that 2 years ago, he effectively took over from Johnny Sexton with that brilliant performance in Marseille and guiding Ireland to a really handsome win. And that's only, it's the corresponding match 2 years ago. And he played every minute of that Six Nations as Ireland won the title. How it's changed since then. It was very interesting to hear Ronan O'Gara on a podcast saying that he's a 12 playing a 10. This seems to be Roger's view now. I personally think he's just trying a little bit too hard. I've said that in the show before. I don't think it's flowing naturally for him a little bit at the moment. It, part of the problem is that so much, as Liam Tolan said in this show, so much goes through him with Munster. Much more seems to go through him with Munster than goes through Sam Prendergast or Harry Byrne with Leinster, and it's piling the pressure on him. He's going to have to do a lot more in a team that's not as strong and doesn't have as many strings to its bow, and is trying to fight to get just qualify for the last 16 in the Champions Cup and failed to do so. But hey, very often a change can be as good as a rest, and a change of environment, going from a province back to international team or vice versa, can have a transformative effect on a sports person, and it might well be the case for Jack Crowley. Look, if I was him, I'd be looking at it thinking, oh, right, I'm in the 23 now and I'm going to keep this jersey.
And if you want to listen to any of that chat back, you can do so in your Off the Ball Rugby podcast feed right now. Become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Back at home, Ireland 15's coach Cully Tucker has named his side to face England A on Friday night in Thomond Park. There will be a lot of eyes on Ulster's Zach Ward and Leinster's Joshua Kenny, who line up on either wing. Zach's younger brother Bryn, who spent the week in Portugal with the Ireland senior team, also makes the starting 15 as he lines out at number 7. Also returning from Portugal to add experience to the matchday 23 is Kieran Frawley, who starts at 10, and Billy Bowen, who gets the nod at loosehead. Alongside Frawley is Leinster's Fintan Gunn at 9. Dan Kelly and James Hume line out in the midfield, and Shane Daly is named at fullback. With 9 caps for the Ireland senior side, Gus McCarthy lines out at hooker, with Scott Wilson finishing off that front row. Charlie Irvine and Fionnuala Wycherley are the locks, with captain Max Deegan and Brian Gleeson joining Bryn in the back 3. On the bench then, it's Diarmaid Barron, Sam Crean and Jack Ainger providing front row cover. Harry Sheridan, Paul Boyle and Sean Jansen cover the rest of the pack, and Matthew Devine and Cathal Ford are in place for the back line. Friday night's clash in Limerick will kick off at 7:15pm live on Premier Sports, and general sale tickets are still available at ticketmaster.ie. Finally then, Ulster have announced another big signing today, with Cardiff forward Ben Dunnell set to join the province next season on a 3-year deal. The versatile 25-year-old forward, who covers the second and the back row, has represented England at under 18 and under 20 level. But Dunnell is Irish qualified through family roots in Belfast and will have at least a season to impress with Ulster and get on Andy Farrell's radar ahead of that 2027 Rugby World Cup. That is all for today on Rugby Daily. Remember, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your fix so you never miss an episode. I'm Susanna Mullen, and I'll be back for the big match day tomorrow. Chat to you then.
Off the Balls, Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.